Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Welcome to another session of this series titled, And What Happened with Job? What happened with Job? And here's today's subject. Job complains about God. Don't do the same. A big amount of quantity, talking about the Christian world, constantly complain about what's going on in their life and always want to blame God. But very few times do they understand that it's the decision that they have taken in life. You also have to understand that we live in a fallen world where we have an enemy who is named Satan. In John 10:10, the Lord explained to us or teaches us what the scripture says. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In John 8:44, the Lord also indicates something to us in the last part. You are of your father the devil, etc. But I want the last part. No, the part that's in between. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Now, the traditional teaching is this, that God permitted what happened to Job like that. That's what traditionally is taught in the Christian world. Nevertheless, it is impossible. And it's impossible that now in this time, for you to be thinking that what's going on to you is be it a test of God or God is placing that test on you to teach you something. Years ago, I heard one time a preacher say that if you were abused sexually, God permitted it with a purpose. That you could understand to the young girls that or women that have been abused. Can you imagine saying that? That permitted it with a purpose? If you hear the first sessions, I placed a foundation or establishment of what truly happened with Job. But we cannot be saying that everything that happens today in this time to you or to me is something that God permits or permitted and that we're in the same position as Job. What's happening is this world is a fallen world, this planet Earth. And we are under the influence, unfortunately, of Satan. Under the authority. So who gave him that authority? It wasn't God, it was Adam. Adam delivered that authority. And what happens now? There are people who think that everything that happens is because God is responsible of it. But that's not true. You are responsible, for example, God isn't responsible for this suit that I put on today. This is something that I chose. Well, there are people who choose things in life. The color of the suit that you have on has nothing to do with the plan or purpose of God. But there are people who in their last years have gone away, in their final years have gone away from God. They now think as if they were of the world. They act as if they were of the world. Like heathens, they act, talk, think, live in debt like pagans. If they end up having a good job, they don't consult with God for anything. They just spend and spend and spend. Don't think in the future. Why? Because truly their trust is in their jobs or in their income and not in God. There are people who recently, in the body of Christ I'm talking about, no longer believe in giving, in seed, or in tithing. They no longer see it that way. People that I knew years ago that spoke with a passion of seed and harvest and that God is the one that provides seed. And I am believing the Lord for this. And I am believing for a great harvest. They let themselves be influenced by other voice, no longer practice it, and come falling into debt, just getting whatever job just as long as they could pay off their debt, getting cold, no longer serving. So who was responsible? They were responsible, not God. God didn't place them into that situation or in the situation that they're going through in this moment to teach them. They decided. God doesn't treat them as if they were puppets. Not that way. But that's what the tradition of man says. So then why does this happen, Brother Hughes? Someone once asked me. Because it's easier to think that everything that happens is because of God and you don't have to exercise any faith. Because when you exercise faith, it takes responsibility from you. You have to control your thoughts, your mind, discipline your body and your mind. But my brothers and sisters, any dead fish can go with the flow of the river because they're dead. They're just letting the water guide them to wherever the water or whatever the stream flows to. But a living fish can go against that stream. But they have to make an effort. And this life is of two. Or you flow with the flow of the devil and with the flow of Satan and the world, the way of thinking and speaking and the way of conducting yourself. In lie, in worry, in illness, in discouragement, or you go with the flow of the kingdom of God. So then choosing the kingdom of God, you will have something that is called opposition. You will have a satanic opposition, a spiritual opposition. But that spiritual opposition is manifest through things or through people. Or situation, or things that you will have to decide. Which is why we have the written word. We have the power of faith. And we have the Holy Spirit that guides us. There are people who are easily oppressed by the pressures of family or friends. And they ask them to do something. But these believers or children of God don't meditate on what they're going to do. They just do, pushed by their desires or impulsed by the moment, by the pressure, or by what that person asked them for. And they fall easily into the pit of the devil. Because like I said, it's easier. And then to just hear a foolish teaching from a person saying, oh, God is testing. You know what? It removes responsibility from you. You say, oh, no, I don't have responsibilities because this is happening to God knows why he permitted it or why he caused it. Yeah, they use the word permit or allowed in the sense that they recognize that it's the devil, but it's like God allowed it. God allowed it because if God didn't want it, the devil wouldn't have attacked you. But that is a lie. Job then lived giving just a brief review because it's a lot of information. But the first teachings are there, the first few sessions of first session, second, third, fourth. I believe I placed a foundation. But just a quick review. Job lived before the law of Moses. He lived in a different time. Now we are under the sixth dispensation, which is the dispensation of the church, the universal church, or the dispensation of grace. We are under the time. The sixth dimension is the time of the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ. This dispensation is legally speaking in the spirit is the time of the Lord Jesus. And in this time the Spirit of God is here to help us. Not to do everything for us, but to help us. The Holy Spirit is here to glorify the Lord. To exalt the Lord Jesus. Amen. Job didn't even live under the Mosaic law. He didn't even live in those times. But there are spiritual laws that are universal laws. That means that it applies so much to this time of grace, to it applies to the law of Moses to the time or applied to the times of even before the law of Moses. We have the law of sowing and reaping, universal law. It's been placed since Genesis, from the beginning. We have the law of life and death. And that law is what Job violated out of ignorance. We're not here condemning Job or sending them to hell or criticizing him, making fun of him in no way. The first sessions, or in the second session, I repeated what Apostle James said here in the Bible, that all we should compare ourselves with Job is in perseverance, with continuing forward, but not imitate what he spoke, not imitate his frustrations of what happened to him. Amen. Now, Job 24, and we saw a couple chapters here, I believe up until 38, but 24, verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1. Since times are not hidden from the Almighty, why do those who know him see not his days? Some remove landmarks, verse 2. They seize flocks violently and feed on them. They drive away the donkey of the fatherless. They take the widow's ox as a pledge. They push the needy off the road. All the poor off the land are focused to hide. In other words, Job here was complaining against God, saying, hey, the evildoers are prospering, doesn't matter what happens, and that's how many Christians are to this day. They say, yeah, well, that person left the things of God. They left the church. They no longer believe in praying in tongues. They no longer believe in giving, and they're prospering. But you see, that's, are people your model, or are Jesus, or is Jesus and his word? Amen. Who do you follow? Who's your example? Foolish people? Because the Bible of God is true. Let me show you something here in Psalms. In Psalms 73, and I'm about to close this study series. There's something interesting here that I want to show you. Psalms 73:1. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such are pure in heart. But as to me, my feet have almost stumbled, my steps have nearly slipped. For I was envious, verse 3, of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there is no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. There is no trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. In other words, this psalm, he was saying here, this man was saying, hey, well, doesn't matter. Again, something similar to Job. But notice how this man was already under the law of Moses. But what you have to understand is that you and I, under the New Testament, and I mentioned right now, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and you have to see and understand something. And I'm going to get ahead a little bit here. But you have to understand this. You and I can prosper without God. Now, some who are disciples of the word and some who love God and respect him, before anything, give me some time to explain this, because I'm not promoting this. I'm not promoting that we prosper without God. What I'm saying is true. You and I can prosper without God. You and I truly do not need God in the natural to prosper. The grand majority of the people in this world do not need God. And we have proof there. Many of the people, of the richest people on this planet Earth, the majority of them, do not have the Lord Jesus in their lives nor in their hearts. They don't need God. They don't need the Word. And it's true. Notice in Psalms 73, there where we're at, verse 12. Behold, there are the ungodly, the ones speaking in the earlier verses, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. They increase their riches without being moved. Who are always at ease. These are the ungodly. The same Psalms 73:12 in the New Living Translation. Look at these wicked people enjoying a life at ease while their riches multiply. New Living Translation. Now, the New International Version. This is what the wicked are like, always free of care, that they go on amassing wealth. So we see here, the Bible tells us, you don't need God in the natural. But, what happens then? Proverbs 10 now. Verse 22. The blessing of God makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now, the word sorrow, or the Hebrew word, it means lack of peace or trespass. This same word also means pain or disgrace. And it denotes in your body. It could be related to illnesses or pulses of the pain in the body, that there's pressure, that there's no peace. Bible says that the ungodly has no peace. Oh, there it is. Thank you. You see? You see it? So it's astounding. So what happened here then? Now let's go to Job, because the focus is here with Job. Although we had reached chapter 38, go to verse 24. Thank you, Lord. Talking about these people. Job 24, verse 5. Indeed, like wild donkeys in the desert, they go out to their work searching for food. The wilderness yields food for them and for their children. They gather their fodder in the field and glean in the vineyard of the wicked. They spend the night naked without clothing and have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains and huddle around the rock for want of shelter. Some snatch the fatherless from the breast and take a pledge from the poor. Verse 10, they cause the poor to go naked without clothing, and they take away the sheaves from the hungry. They press out oil within their walls and tread wine presses, yet suffer thirst. The dying groan in the city and the souls of the wounded cry out, yet God does not charge them with wrong. This is what Job said. Wow. This is what Job said. This isn't what God said. Job here was speaking out of frustration. And what are you going to do? Just say the same thing? No, don't do that. You're going to give more place to the devil, bring more frustration to your life, and more disaster. Now there, chapter 24, this moment we're going to see verse 21, John 21, Job 24, verse 21. Job is the one that said here in this verse. Now, Psalms 22. Our apologies. Yes, it's Psalms. Apologies. Psalms 22. Mixed up the verses there. And 10. But you are the one who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. But Job said that back to Job. Psalms 103. Verse 9. He grants the barren woman a home, like a joyful mother of children. Notice one more time. He grants the barren woman a home, like a joyful mother of children. Job 24:21, for he preys on the barren who do not bear and does no good for the widow. Exodus 23:26, but going back to Job, did no good to the widow. Very interesting. Job was complaining with God. Yeah, he was desperate, of course. He was very sad by what had happened to him and his children. It's true, all those things happen. But something that we can learn is that the more we blame God of our situation, and there are people who don't do it openly, but deep within those thoughts come, and the devil off of those thoughts, off of those questions. Why is it that when I serve God, this happens to me? I can assure you that it was never God. Of course, you serve God. So the idea that we have is, if I serve God, God will take care of me. God will protect me. And that's true. All of that is true. But you forget something, that you have the authority here on this earth. And it's you or I who give place to the devil. And the devil will take advantage. Any minimum opportunity we give him, the devil would take advantage. I can never go with God and say, Lord, I've served you for so many years, and I've been there, and I've been taking care of your work and of the ministry. And if something happens, well, for example, say, where are you? I was taking care of your work, and I was over them, overseeing. I can tell you to this day, God has been good and has rewarded me, because he rewards those who seek him. But if I'm not aware, and I live on this earth, if I am not aware and I perhaps give place to the devil would take advantage any place that I give him. The solution is not to whine and complain with God. The solution is to repent, to recognize if I did wrong, recognize when I did that wrong. If I did something that God didn't tell me, giving place to the devil, and to repent. To repent. The first thing that we should do is repent. And close all place to the devil. And discipline ourselves to hear the voice of God more. And to continue. To continue. To continue. And he said that we will no longer learn from our mistakes, because we did something wrong and it didn't work out, it brought bad results, saying, oh, I learned from that. Yeah, it's true, we learn, but doesn't mean we have to learn of that way. Hallelujah. Now, do you have Judges 13? Judges 13, verse 1. Against the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son." When Job 24:21, he says, "And he did no good to the widow that did not." Now think for a moment, and we see here all the contrary. Afflicted to the woman who could not bear, to the barren woman. So we cannot be blaming God happening. Now, there in Job, because if you blame God, you get frustrated. Look, everything that you sow is what you will reap. Everything that I sow is what I will reap. I'm not saying that we won't have attacks or issues in life or things won't come against us. I'm saying that. Nevertheless, we have the ability to say, no, I will not be discouraged by this. I will going forward. The first thing you have to do is repent and change. And it'll cost you. It'll cost your mind. It'll cost your flesh to go back to the things of God and to have interest for your Bible, for prayer, by walking by faith. It'll cost you. It's true. Because the flesh rebels against that because it doesn't want to serve God. You don't want to be in the things of God. It'll cost you. The question of a couple of days, just not years, days. Many people think that it's a question of 24 days, of 24 hours to gain a habit. Now, let's go to chapter 40, Job 40. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, now here, if you see the story, Job was speaking, Job's friends were speaking as well. But now God starts talking. Although he had already spoken in chapter 38. Now, let's go to chapter 40. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. Verse 6, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? The answer would be yes. Right there on verse 8. The Lord here started speaking. And the Lord started saying here. It was the time to say something. And God started making questions. One of the questions that he made in verse 2, is it wise to contend with the Almighty? The answer is no. Job wasn't wise. So what can you learn from this? Are you wise? Easily getting frustrated, blaming God? It's not wise at all. Giving a lot of place to the devil. And notice how I didn't say I didn't say don't blame God. Don't go against God because he will get mad with you and he will stop loving you and stop talking to you and perhaps he'll even send you to hell. Notice how I didn't say that. I said, you will give place to the devil. And after these announcements, we'll continue. Amen. And some need to be born again and need the first announcement. Some of you who say that you are already Christians, you need to rethink it and reaffirm that you have truly been born again. Amen. And you can send this teaching to some friend or family or perhaps a Christian who is carnal. Amen. We'll continue after this.
The Word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at npfccc.org and click on the questions section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, npfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
We are grateful for your continued prayers and financial support, which are important for spreading God's word around the world. Giving to our ministry is both simple and secure. Please visit our website, npfccc.org, and find the giving section where you will find a variety of giving options. To make a donation, fill out the donation form, enter your desired contribution amount, select the specific fund you wish to give to, add your preferred payment method, and click the Give button to finalize your donation. Upon completion, you will receive a confirmation of your donation. We want to reassure you that any amount you decide to give is a blessing and appreciated in our ongoing mission. Thank you for your support and for partnering with us.
Amen. Okay. I want to thank all of our faith partners and friends of Word of Faith Ministries that help us take the word to different cities, places via television, radio, and the internet, especially in the internet to different countries. You are all making this possible. It's about time we start believing in the Lord because there will be a great increase. Stay with this. You have to not go with the mentality of the world because if not, you're going to end your day wrong. God, although the times have changed, God hasn't changed. That's the correct way of saying it. The world will go worse and worse, farther away from God. Because I mentioned that when we first started. The world will prosper without God. But consequences will come to your life. God did not plan for man that man prosper without him. Now you will choose. If it is that you end up being in an old age, you'll end your old age old, sick, all dried up, an old bitter person, poor, waiting for the government to give you a check every month. No, my brothers and sisters, when you were born again for greatness, to go farther ahead of the system. You have to repent and go back to the ancient path to change your way of thinking. Glory to God. Amen. Now, notice that the Lord here continues making questions and declarations as well. In 40 verse 9, says, have you an arm like God? The answer would be no. Or can you thunder with a voice like His? The answer would be no. I'm going to read all the way to verse 15. Look now at the behemoth which I make along with you. He eats grass like an ox. See now his strength in his hips and his power in his stomach muscles. He moves his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are tightly knit. His bones are like beams of bronze, his ribs like bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God. Only He can make him bring near his sword. Great beast here. Look now at the behemoth. Now what God was telling us here is the greatness that He is in Himself and is in creation. What is then your discouragement, your worry? Think about this. If you were struggling with an illness, with a deadly illness, and you no longer live, you'll go to heaven. Even if you want to prosper and you never prospered, like you were believing for, if you exercise faith, God will take care of you. But I believe you will prosper, you will heal of any situation that you're going through. But if something were not to happen, then you delight in the Lord. That's the attitude that we should have. Not saying that we don't exercise faith. Please don't misunderstand me. I said right now, faith will cost you. To your flesh, to your mind, it will cost you to discipline your entire self. But the results are marvelous. But while you're headed towards those marvelous results, opposition will come. And instead of being like many Christians just praying, oh Lord, please come that the rapture may occur, because I no longer want to be on this planet Earth. Oh, this is so terrible. No. Of course, I believe in the rapture, but it's not my heart that the Lord come, because we gotta go now. It's truly in the depths of my heart, there is cowardice. There's tiredness. I don't want to continue. See, that's a bad attitude. Now, I want you to go all the way to verse 41. Because the Lord here starts saying things. Chapter 41. Can you draw Leviathan with a hook or snare his tongue with a line which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? The answer would be no. 3. Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? The answer would be no. Will you play with him as with a bird? Or will you leash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet of him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? The answer would be no. No, because if Leviathan is this great monster, a man in the natural would not be able to go against it. There are reasons for why God here was speaking and asking questions. Because in the human reasoning, this all may seem dumb. But there's something spiritual here. In other words, another way of seeing it is, who are you and I to say that walking by faith does not work? Do you understand faith, or are you the author of faith? Do you understand what every single person goes through? What happens to their life? Are you with the people there when they, in their moments of sorrow, in their moments of illness, in their moments of desperation, the same as Job, they started speaking contrary to what they were truly believing for. They started speaking death. Remember, everything that I'm saying is not because I'm criticizing or because I don't understand what people go through. I'm saying, have you been there with what's in the hearts of the people? Or when people only say, oh yeah, I'm believing by faith that I am healed. Oh, I believe that I am healed. Oh yes. But deep in their heart, they don't even believe what they're saying, because truly, what they want is to leave. Go to heaven with the Lord. Or they no longer want to fight it. You know what's in each human being, believer, every Christian? What's in the depths of their heart? The frustrations? The bitterness that they hold against someone? How much they've been offended of, do not walk by being offended. Let go. But they still hold on. And they hear so much nonsense on TV and in the internet that they feed their carnality. Or perhaps some trauma that the devil placed there to them when they were a kid, because they wanted a toy and they never obtained it. Or they wanted something and they desired it in their heart and they never had it. And the devil always, always had them hold that in their heart. And although they were exposed to a teaching of who they are in Christ, of what they possess in Christ, of what they have in Christ, that God loves them unconditionally, they've been exposed to teaching the power of faith, the power of prosperity, the power of the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. But with so much information that there is now on the internet and in social media, they decided to believe other voices instead of believing what they had been taught for years and what has been preached to them with the Word of God. Do you know, my brother and sister, you who's listening, the amount of things that there is in a human being, be it heathen or a child of God, believer in Jesus Christ, the amount of things that there is in there. Why do I say this? Because then you see that those same people that I'm speaking of, or the ones that I'm referring to, with things in their mind, in their heart, etc., they don't see the results, and then you say, why did my sister die, or why did brother die, or why did this happen to them? Why? And your heart starts hardening because you think that in one way, God is responsible. But I told you all of this, because do you know, have you been with them? Do you know what's there in their heart? Like a person once told me, I don't know why this happened to my mom, Brother Hughes, because every time I was with her, in the moments that she went through that illness, she always spoke that the word, and that she spoke that she was healed, and she spoke and she would say, oh, here the Bible says in His word, and I believe, and I'm going to live a long life. And he told me, I was with her there in that sofa where we would place her, and at night we would take her to bed. And I was with her. And I was listening to this person who was telling me this. And I asked him, hey sister, were you with her 24 hours out of the day? And she answered, yes, I'm telling you, Pastor, Brother Hughes, I was there with her. And I asked her again, because I thought, she's not understanding my question. Because just because you're there with her a couple hours, or that you accompany her, there aren't moments in which you won't be here. There are moments where you won't be there with them, what I'm referring to. And I told her, but you were there 24 hours a day without letting go. As in, when your mom went to the bathroom, you were there with her in that bathroom. When your mom, they would have to shower her, that's true. But when your mom went to the bathroom to do her necessities there, were you there with her? You wouldn't separate from her. Oh, no, of course not. There, you know, a sister of mine would come and take care of her, or a brother of ours, and I would go do something at home. Ah, that's what I'm referring to. You don't know. I told this sister, I'm telling you, you don't know what's in the mind, in the most profound thing of every person. Someone told me, yeah, it's because all of us can go through something. It's true. Nevertheless, there's a difference between a person or all of us, that we could have something here in our mind recorded of how we react to that. We have it under control, or does it still hurt us? That's what I'm referring to. That's the big difference. That's a big difference. Because there are things that happen to me, and I remember them right now, but it's not something that holds me, nor is it something that bothers me. There are other things that I don't. I've decided to follow, to go forward. All of us have things. All of us have memories, bad or good. And to all of us, something has happened in our life. Something hurtful, something degrading, something difficult. But God and His grace is greater than any other thing. And through that blessed faith of the Lord Jesus that He gave us, we can go forward and have a victorious life. That doesn't mean that we won't have opposition. All the contrary. When more faith you exercise, more opposition there is, but you are joyful. Hallelujah. Amen. If you read all of chapter 40, all of chapter 41, it's what you're going to read is very impressive. Now, Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Job 42, verse 1 and 2. But I want you to see something. Look at the difference now. Job 42:3. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Now Job here speaks. And you know who it is? The church. You know who this is? The church. Notice in 38, 1 and 2. Then the Lord answered out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Verse 3, now prepare yourself like a man, I will answer you, you shall answer me. Verse 4, where were you? So when I laid the foundation of the earth, tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? What were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Speaking of the angels. Notice, God ask some questions. And this is something that I think I imagine it. Perhaps Job was, you know, just hearing God, looking at God here, because it says that the Lord spoke through that whirlwind. He was looking at that whirlwind, hearing the voice of God, how God was asking those questions. I imagine that Job had his eyes open, like hard-boiled eggs, like peeled hard-boiled eggs, because he didn't know what to answer. And perhaps thinking, how have I've spoken so much nonsense against the Lord. Yeah, God is patient, very patient. And he was very patient with Job. But at the end, he had to tell him, let's see, that's time that I speak. You've spoken too much. Notice in 38 verse 2, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now Job asks and says, who is it that darkens the counsel without knowledge? So for us, this question that God made, and as Job made, would be the church. For years, the church. Who is it who hides counsel without knowledge? Who hides counsel without knowledge? That would be the church. Now go to Lamentations. Lamentations 3:27. Verse 3:37. Who is he who speaks, and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Ah, who? The church. The teachings that there have been, traditional teachings of the church. Right there. Now, in 43, because Job here recognizes something. 42:3. Who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Now the same question that the Lord made him. There we go. Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand. Bravo, Job, bravo. Things too wonderful, which I did not know. Bravo. It was about time, Job. Verse 4, Job continues, listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, like many Christians here, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Of what? Of all the nonsense that he has spoken. Amen. There are millions of Christians that have to repent to all the nonsense that they've spoken. That of, the tongues, the speaking in tongues does not work. That of a faith doesn't work. You didn't work. You don't work. You haven't made the baptism of the Holy Spirit work with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You don't make faith work. You don't make prosperity of God work. Because you're cheap. A robber who steals from God, just hearing to all those false preachers of that false grace. Many of those dumb fools have been left without a church. Amen. Has it been God? No, it's not God. It's been you, or you haven't been a good administrator of finances. When prosperity came, you started spending desperately because the devil deceived you and you said, oh, but when I was a kid, I didn't have this and I didn't have that, but now that I have it, I'm going to buy it. Yeah, there's time for that. But there's time to be wise. Amen. Amen. But you can say the same as Job. You can say that the same that Job said in 42 verse 4, 4, 5, and 6. And say it. Prayer. Verse 7. And so it was, after the Lord has spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job was. Now therefore take for yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Notice here, they still didn't live under the law, and he was already speaking of sacrifices. Very interesting. Verse 10, and the Lord restored Job's losses. When he prayed for his friends, indeed the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Notice something that Job, very important here. Job repented. Again, he changed his way of thinking, changed his way of seeing. Glory to God. So, what's in your life, brothers and sisters? What's in our lives that we have to always make this question, this prayer every day. Make my heart pure before you. There's something there, an obstacle there. The Spirit of God will make you know, but quickly. He will not condemn you. He will not send you to hell. He will not scare you. He will not threaten you. But he will tell you, remove this that I can manifest. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you received, thank you, Lord. I am about to finish another session more to close up everything that we have been studying of what happened with Job. And it will be a great blessing because you will understand things, what's going on. You will apply them to your life. Because Job violated spiritual laws. That's what happened. All of us could be going through a difficult time and we're believing in the Lord for things that may seem impossible. Nevertheless, we are not alone. We have the Lord and His Word. And we have the power of faith in our lives. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, if you were fed this evening, I invite you to give. Hallelujah. You can press that button, giving, on the internet and help us to take the word to places farther from these four walls as we've been doing before, but reach more and more and more souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you again for listening to us. This has been the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.